Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Going on tonight, so I'm going to start the show. Yes, we have a lot of things to talk about. There's many things happening in the world, and I've narrowed it down to a couple of topics. We're going to be talking about John McAfee, the antivirus mogul or magnate that died in a Spanish prison, suspectedly. The Hong Kong restrictions are being narrowed down by China, and Pat, Don's wife, wanted us to reflect on Juneteenth this year, being that President Biden had made it an official holiday this year and many people around the world celebrated it. Any other topics open for discussion? I have a few announcements. I did order new polo shirts for everybody. I decided to go with the polo option instead of T-shirts. Everyone got their first or second choice in color, and they should be done in 2 or 3 weeks. I'm also going to be revising the logo, but I'm asking a local consultant for that help because she has a better technology for that. And let me just jump right into the first topic. So John McAfee was successful in America. He owned and sold a company called McAfee, you know, antivirus software. He was controversial, and he had many agencies of the American government against him, including a major claim against tax evasion. Now, he's kind of, since he sold the company, he had a controversial life. He apparently had a lot of lovers and impregnated some of them. He killed his neighbor in Belize after his neighbor poisoned his dogs, but he was never brought formal charges. However, the family in Florida sued him privately to the person that he killed, and they won some money back in a civil claim. He was found this past week dead in a cell in Barcelona on Wednesday, and a medical examiner went to the scene and was the spokesperson for the Superior Court of Catalonia. She said the cause of death was under investigations, but the prison guards did try to revive him. His death came after a ruling from a 3-panel judge in Spain's national court in Madrid this week that said McAfee could be extradited to the U.S. to face charges. He faced a number of charges with many different agencies, and he was rather old in life. He was up to age 75. He had lived the majority of his life, but he got a little weird at the end. The last 5 years, he discussed why he should run for president. He was basically unhinged. I'm going to play this clip quick. And I'm putting this show on the air for two reasons. It's kind of similar to Jeffrey Epstein in the sense that he died in his prison cell with suspicions of suicide, but not precise, and that he was another successful American businessman where things ended badly for him. So here we go.
Software that bears his name had just been ordered extradited to the United States on tax evasion charges. He faced up to 30 years in prison if convicted. He was 75, and a wild ride of a life it was. McAfee's virus scan software came out back in 1987, and he ran the company for 7 years until he resigned in 94. McAfee missed out on the $7.7 billion that Intel spent to buy the company, but he did amass an estimated $100 million fortune before the financial crisis crushed it back in 2008. In 2013, he created a profanity-laced video explaining how users could uninstall his own software. The year before, McAfee faced criminal accusations while living in Belize. As the story went, his next-door neighbor poisoned his dogs, and McAfee had him killed. But he never faced criminal charges. He talked to CNBC's Jane Wells about that in 2015, and it was clear he had issues.
My wife is sort of put out because I'm up and down all night long looking out windows and things. I mean, people do think I'm paranoid, and perhaps that's a paranoid act. If you believe the stories and believe that the Belizean government might actually still be after me, that's a stressful situation.
Well, they never got him, but a federal court in Florida ordered him to pay more than $25 million in damages to the dead man's estate. The feds say McAfee failed to file tax returns for 5 years last decade. The Securities and Exchange Commission came for him, too, accusing McAfee of making more than $23 million in undisclosed income from false and misleading cryptocurrency recommendations. The federal court in Manhattan charged him in an alleged pump-and-dump scheme. Along the way, of course, McAfee ran for president. He posted a video on New Year's Eve 2015.
Spy cameras are hidden in cactuses. The government surreptitiously parses our verbal communications, and the concept of privacy is fast approaching extinction. Hatred, anger, jealousy, fear, greed, distrust, and a whole host of afflictions that humans must bear lurk just beneath the surface of civility displayed by government.
The campaign didn't resonate. Last October, police in Spain arrested him on the warrant out of the United States. 1 week ago today, from his prison cell, McAfee tweeted, "The U.S. believes I have hidden crypto. I wish I did, but it has dissolved through the many hands of Team McAfee. Your belief is not required. And my remaining assets are all seized. My friends evaporated through fear of association. I have nothing, yet I regret nothing." Authorities in
So that's it. If anything else, it makes for an interesting topic matter. So I'm going to pull in the host. First, I'll pull in Suzette, who called in first. Hi, Suzette. How's it going tonight?
Good evening. It's going well. It's hot today. But other than that, very well. Thank you.
Is it like 110 there?
More like 90 with a lot of humidity. Sticky, sticky humidity.
Yeah, California sometimes gets that, and it's odd. You know, getting that humidity factor.
Mm-hmm. We're not used to it, so we whine and complain. Thank you.
I know. It's been real strange here, too. With it goes from hot to medium and then big thunderstorms. Hi, Don. Mm-hmm. How's it going tonight?
Hi, everyone. I'm watching my daughter throw fire at an event at our downtown here in Reno. So you might hear some
gym?
Music in the background. No, it's at the main drag in Reno. Our
oh,
downtown.
She's doing that fire dancing stuff.
Correct. So you might hear some music in the background. As a matter of fact, you will hear some music in the background. So what's up?
Yeah, Suzette Don's daughter is one. They do these fire dances, and I got to see her once. It's real interesting.
Yeah.
Oh. Like the ones that they have in.
Don,
which
can
one?
You explain what it's about?
Yeah, you have various tools that you can light up with. Generally, I believe it's kerosene, and the concoction has to do with baking powder, baking soda and things. So you have these poles or globes or anything else that can swing with fire just moving around. So, and they dance to music. So that's what that's about. And it's really cool, usually at night, because you can't really see the flames too well in the day, but
mm-hmm.
they're not nearly effective. So now it's 9:30 here, 9:15 here, and it just got dark. So now we're able to see her perform.
Wow, yeah, definitely. I've seen performers like at a birthday party for teens and adults.
Yep.
On YouTube. And, wow, they're really talented. I mean, they move.
they've got to
what
twirl
they do
these
with the different tools, the hula hoops, and
yep.
I was trying to remember some of the other things. But, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, so she's been doing that, a lot of practice for about 8 years now. So she's really pretty good. And it's a fun and entertaining thing for the family to do. We can come out and cheer her on. But she goes to a lot of different venues all around northern Nevada generally. So she could be at, in 30 miles from here at any time performing. But she's also a date DJ. She's got major clients out of Lake Tahoe and some
mm-hmm.
of the biggest, some of the richest people in the world. And they,
you mean like they prepare to do private parties?
Exactly. And she specializes mm-hmm. in ELO, electric lights. So that's what they do, is they have the electric. Electric concerts.
Don't you guys ever sit still?
No, we're the busiest people in the world, guaranteed by far. So,
like, I stayed home 9 out of 12 hours today, and it felt strange.
I bet, because you're always to go. You're always at work.
Right, and I've really slowed down, you guys, and I'm going to Georgia on Tuesday, so. This is our only show until probably the 5th or 6th of July.
Okay. You got it. Let us. Yeah.
Okay.
What the all heck, right. Don?
No.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to get. Do
no,
you
I was
guys think?
Say, I got,
go ahead,
got
Don.
Fireworks going on. We got fireworks going on from our league-leading Reno Aces baseball minor league AAA team, and then we've got people that I know from all over, because I've been here 30 years, and this is one of the first times we've been out, so it's kind of like a reunion celebration fireworks Saturday, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say, do you guys think when people become so successful and then they get rogue, like somebody like this John McAfee, do you think the government has an axe to grind with him more than money? Like his wife in his wife was black, by the way. I think she might have been from Belize, but she doesn't believe he committed suicide by hanging in jail. And what is your opinion on John McAfee, Suzette?
He was
an extravagant man
for sure. And there was tweets that he put out saying that if he ever turned up committing suicide, that he didn't commit suicide. I don't know. Because he was this an extravagant type of person, I don't know what to think of that.
Hold on a minute. I think, he's 75 years old. He already knew what he was facing.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps maybe he did. You don't know if these people have, like, a borderline personality disorder or something.
Right.
Maybe he did have mental problems and he just decided to off himself. But it just sounds rather suspicious to me.
Yeah, I don't know how well he was being treated in the jail or the prison where he was at, but you would think that it would be better here in the U.S. than there, but yet he was...
Yeah, I don't think Spain is too bad of a place because I've had friends who've lived there and things of that nature, and I think they're a pretty evolved culture.
Hmm, okay.
Except for maybe when Franco was... ruling during the Spanish Civil War. It was pretty brutal. But Spain is a pretty civilized part of Europe, from what I understand.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that the coroner hadn't determined yet or ruled the death as far as...
No, they haven't. They have not completed the investigation.
So that's interesting.
John's the one who told me it was death by hanging.
Yeah. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's interesting that they didn't
do it? I just think I was wondering what he was doing in Spain anyway. Was he avoiding? It was probably tax evasion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm wondering why he sold his company after only 7 years. Like, to me, that seems strange that you'd kind of want to, like, pamper it a little more and watch it grow. But then we had the Wall Street crash of 2008.
I remember he was on an interview on RT News, and he had mentioned that he actually was never in it for the money, and so it wasn't too hard for him to let it go because it became, as far as growing into something that wasn't originally intended to be. So, he let it go.
Okay. So I just thought it was a newsworthy item. Other things that I've talked about this week or looked into, not too much, is I guess China's really hunkering down on Hong Kong. But you were the one, Suzette, who told me that they re-signed the British contract for another 25 or 30 years. So do you guys, what does China have to gain for always being a hard ass with everybody? Like, I mean, they're not going to get more compliance. They're not going to get any more special favors or likability. And I think China's always been threatened by Hong Kong. What do you all think?
Hello?
Don.
Go ahead, Don.
You're being disruptive. Hello, Don.
Yeah, I'm right here. I was right by the speaker, and the fireworks are still going off, and we are just having a ton of fun. But I just wanted to make a point about McAfee, is that he was crazy, and power begets power. So he got engrossed in it, even though he did sell at a relatively early point in his company. But Hong Kong is now the controller are being controlled by China. So anything we say, there's nothing we can do about it. and China will clamp down its fruits.
Well, there's some kind of new security law that's being implemented. It was implemented, it's going to be implemented on June 30th, before the 23rd anniversary of the city's handover to China from British rule. It gives Beijing powers to shape life in Hong Kong as never before. I thought they turned it back over to the Brits for another 25 years.
No. Hong Kong is now China.
Okay, I'm just going to read, since you're at a party, Don, I'm just going to read a few premises and you can comment. Crimes of secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign forces are punishable by maximum life in prison. Damaging public transport facilities can be considered terrorism. They're probably talking about the protesters that were in the streets right before COVID broke out. Those found guilty of any of these kind of crimes will not be able to stand for public office. Companies can be fined if convicted under law. Beijing will establish a new security office in Hong Kong with its own law enforcement personnel, neither of which could come under local authorities' jurisdiction. The office can send some cases to be tried in mainland China, but Beijing has said it will only have that power over a small number of cases. In addition, Hong Kong will have to establish its own National Security Commission to enforce the laws with a Beijing-appointed advisor. Hong Kong's chief executive will have the power to appoint judges to hear national security cases, raising fears about judicial autonomy. Beijing will have the power over how the law shall be interpreted. Not any Hong Kong judicial or judicial-type policy body. If the law conflicts with any Hong Kong law, the Beijing law takes priority. Some trials will be heard behind closed doors. People suspecting breaking the law can be wiretapped and put under surveillance. Management of foreign non-governmental organizations and news agencies will be strengthened. In other words, if there's NGOs there or other types of businesses, it's going to be more controlled by China. The law will also apply to non-permanent residents and people from outside who are not permanent residents. So I'll stop there. So do you guys think it's going to be a major crackdown or just phony service? Are they going to pretend like people, business is normal?
As I said, Hong Kong is now China. Stop.
Yep.
Full stop. Full stop, full stop, full stop.
Yep.
Hong Kong is now part of China.
They have no sovereignty whatsoever like they did under British contract.
Well, it seemed like it was a very vibrant international foreign business community, and now, like, Europeans won't want to invest there if they feel threatened.
Well, that's the problem. See, China doesn't want Taiwan recognized as its own country or own nation state. They want control over them, and they saw that the things were happening for Taiwan as far as, you know, business investments, and they were doing well. And if they were ever going to get control as far as full control, they needed to take it at that time, which was right before COVID, when they had the protesters, and we did nothing to help them out, you know. And that was important because also not only for the people of Taiwan, but also strategically, if China were to ever even think about going to war with us, that was a very strategic.
The problem, though, is it's kind of like us in Puerto Rico and all of our satellite countries. Like, who's really going to stop China from taking over? It would be pretty hard.
Yeah, we were supposed to help.
That's why the South China Sea, too, Suzette made a great point that Hong Kong is a buffer to Taiwan. And that's the other reason that that we don't want to see the South China Sea with these actually man-made islands popping up
right.
that are simply military bases.
Exactly.
And that's
they've been
problem.
Doing that for over 10 years, is creating those new military bases in the ocean.
Right,
underwater.
And now, now they've got them. So, yep. you know, that's one of the things that the United States is noticing, that China is expanding towards North Korea. And this is going to be never-ending, only because China is going to need more territory for their ambition. They're looking
mm-hmm.
to take over the world and bring on communism. And that's why one of the good things that happened with Trump is that he started cracking down on China, because they were, sending over spies. There were lots of visas that were to the Chinese that some of them never thought that they would indemnify, or that they would get all the information they can from America and then take it back to the mainland. So there are all kinds of things that are involved in a relationship with China, and we can't really be soft because they're not.
And we can't forget that the Tibetan people also suffer when Taiwan is under Chinese rule.
Exactly.
You know, I wish I knew more about this. I feel like I'm really in the dark.
You are. You need some critical race theory stuff. Because you have...
Okay, well, this has nothing to do with race. Wait, Don.
It does.
Don't be domineering tonight.
It does, too. That's it. You white people
don't know
anything. About
you need
history.
A firecracker up
it.
Your butt.
I've got one. Why do you think I said it? Golly, it feels good, too. Just pecking my ass all apart.
I think Hong Kong's a really cool-looking city.
Hong Kong and Singapore are some of the greatest cities in Asia, all of Asia.
It's humongous, and all the buildings are tall.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an island.
It's kind of like an island between a bay and the ocean. And it's called Kowloon Peninsula. It's more like a peninsula because it's slightly attached to China.
Mm-hmm.
So... Okay, we don't have to stay on this topic forever, but I want to know what's on your guys' mind tonight, besides just the regular old stuff. John was mentioning how he thinks the Biden and Harris administration are colluding to try to change everything about America, including how we... identify ourselves as sexually, like, am I a girl and are you a boy, and can we call ourselves by our own biological birth right?
I don't know if Kamala and Joe Biden are responsible for that, because there are a lot of different agencies, if you will, meaning entities or organizations responsible for it. I mean, when you have on PBS, where Sesame Street used to be, drag queen story hour, and talking about, it's okay to touch yourself and all this other, it's like, what, huh?
Are you kidding?
No. There are clips on YouTube. I was thrown back. I was, what, huh? Are you kidding me? They're allowing this.
That's
on
terrible.
Isn't it?
We had a seminar at my school about 3 years ago about what to call people who don't identify as a girl or boy, like those weird pronoun things.
Uh-huh.
The teacher shouldn't have to be required to call them by a benign name. They should just be able to be required to call them by their birth name or the name they came into the school with.
Right.
Because I can see seniors doing it in 11th graders, but not 5th, 6th, and 7th graders. Because they're going to be so confused, they're not going to know who they are.
Exactly. And it's not as far as proper English when you're teaching, instructing, educating on language. You know, a single person, well, I guess they could be a they, but...
They call them a he or a her,
yeah,
or a she or a him.
Right, a proper noun.
Right.
I always say me, me, me. I'm like, kiss my ass. I'm not going to give you the pleasure of trying to box me in a corner. No way. And they do it all the time. We have a lot of organizations here that more or less rely on that gender neutrality in order to bring more people who are in some kind of a new method of mass consciousness, I guess, is homogeny, and that's fucked up because they're men and they're women.
And I slipped one day at work because I work with two lesbians,
right.
And they were talking about like going with other women, and I blurted out by mistake, I can't. I'm a Southern Baptist. I can't do stuff like that.
Okay, now what was the problem with that?
And then one girl who was only 25. Well, I said that's how I was raised, and she's from the South. She said technically that's how I was raised too, but she didn't buy the doctrine of the church.
Yeah. Wow.
But I like treating people well, but I don't want them to force me to think the way I want to think, because I don't want to be gay, and I don't want to be persuaded to be gay. But sometimes I think that gay people want you to think the way they think so they can feel more comfortable.
Well,
yeah.
Right now, yeah, that's kind of, no, I'm just going to say that's kind of the olden days where you're going to have, you know, men jumping everywhere, proselytizing their sexuality. But that is, those days are...
You mean
gone.
Gay men?
Yeah, I mean, both are, used to be rather, relatively aggressive, but with the civil rights and everything that have gone on, it slowed, that aggressiveness has slowed. But, I think
it's once
alluded.
Because they got accepted in the mainstream society, then
I
used to gamble in a gay bar, and I used to hear them talking loosely about Christians and how they still feel threatened by them. They have the impression that all Christians are anti-gay.
Well, that's their biggest challenger. None of the religions really touts homosexuality. None. Zero. Zilch. There are some new ones that could be called cults that do that, and there are some that are trying to soften their stance. But for the most part, these people in the church could, you know, they don't think that it is, they think it's a sin. When the Bible says...
Well, yeah,
it,
I go to a Lutheran church, which is one of the only two churches in Duluth that accept homosexuality, but I'm actually conservative in my belief about that, but the reason I go to the church is I like the pastor, not because I'm pro-gay rights.
Right.
And I'm not
anti-gay
either. I just don't want it shoved in my face all the time.
Right.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
It's being gay, being a lesbian, is a sexual preference. It's a lifestyle. Fine. Live your life. Live your lifestyle. Do your thing. Straight people don't walk around parading their sexuality or their, you know, as far as, hey, how you doing? I'm Suzette and I'm straight. How you doing? We like to do it.
Right. And that's the, it is kind of a problem because the gay community or the LGBT community, they are looking for acceptance. But sometimes they go too far. Because I don't need to know, and I'm not stopping you from doing what you want to do. But I still see they like to probe and test people and mm-hmm. ask people their viewpoints.
And that's their strength, is guilt. And that's how they prove their point and how they conceive themselves to be equal, is that they'll run around and they'll say, you better like gays or else we'll call the gay squad on you.
Well, it makes them feel better, like you said, as far as it gives them validity, which it shouldn't have to, but, you know, when they're accepted, then it makes them feel better about that guilt. And so,
it's only human, Suzette. It's only a human. It's a human response to conceived in this case, conceived threat.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, most people, they're just talking shit, and they don't really have an opinion about gays or not, especially those who are not necessarily religious. They just talk a game, but the religious people, they think they have a point.
Yeah, and I think that as far as being intimidated by Christians, well, they don't, you know, I mean, I don't approve of the lifestyle because of my personal beliefs, but that doesn't mean if I have to go to work and there's a person with gay preferences or lesbian preferences, that, you know, I'm not going to treat them civil because they're still a human being. It's
right.
Not my place to judge, as long as it's not,
right, like,
you know, wanted in my face.
In certain settings, you can witness to them, but if you're at work, you don't witness to them about what you think their life should be. Right? You just treat them like everybody else.
Right, exactly. And, you know, for the most part, there are many of them that just live their lives, and you don't know, you know, if they're gay, straight, lesbian, or whatever, because they function in society, and they keep their bedroom in their bedroom. And same with the transgender people. You know, they complain that they're being treated differently, that they're not accepted, or, you know, as far as, well, they don't see me as a woman and I'm a woman. And why do people need to see you as anything other than what you present yourself as? If you fully transition and you're good to go, then you're good to go. Nobody's going to see you as anything else except for what you have presented yourself as. But to be, you know, demanding that acceptance, and you're still walking around with a 5 o'clock shadow and a dress, it's kind of hard to take seriously. And I don't mean that in a mean way.
That happened. I have a story regarding that. Well, I have two things to say. I was watching Masters of None last night. It's Aziz Ansari is a famous Indian actor. He was on Parks and Recreation, and
mm-hmm.
he created his own series. And he has
mm-hmm.
a friend, his black friend, in the series, there's an episode about them growing up and her discovering she's gay. And she calls herself Lebanese instead of lesbian because she doesn't like the word lesbian. And then there's a scene where Angela Bassett is her mother, and she's like a sophomore in college, and she tells her mother the truth that she's gay. And the mother cries because it's explained in the episode that black people don't really accept gayness, and they don't want their children to be gay. And that is true in many segments of black society.
Right.
And it was a
absolutely
very well-done episode. And then at the end, the black female character said, well, I didn't choose to be this way. But, well, anyways, it was very well presented. Even if you were like a Southern Baptist and watching it, you'd probably have a little more compassion for gays. But a lot of people don't think that, they think that being gay is a choice, not a non-choice.
Well,
then,
well, we are,
Well,
you know, I believe that almost 100% nutrition. We're all born with, the Y and Z chromosomes. And they're all, we all have testosterone and estrogen. So, and I've met I've read quite a few texts, philosophers, things like that, psychiatrists who believe that those things are exacerbated by certain nutrition, and we believe it too. That's why I own a fitness and nutrition business. And things like soy, GMO corn, things like that, they're really, really bad for the body. They mess up the estrogen, testosterone balances. And
yeah, but not every kid in America who has, let's say they eat sugar puffs for breakfast for 10 years, they're not going to turn gay just because they had sugar puffs.
No, but if their mom ate sugar puffs every day for 10 years, then the kid has a real good chance of being a little bit more or less, right here, more or less, a big part of a change in evolution. Let me put it like that.
I get what you're saying. But I didn't make my second point yet, and I'm glad you interjected. I lived across the street from a drag queen in Reseda, but she was a beautiful blonde, and I didn't know she was a man turned a woman for 5 years, and her name was Barbie Woods. And if you Google her, she's famous. But now she just goes by her regular name, Stacey Dean. But they made a movie about her on Netflix called Creature because she was a feminine boy, and her whole life she was picked on. But then she crossed over to becoming a full woman, and she's married to a Latino guy who I know because he was my neighbor too. And her life story was pretty interesting. So at least as a Christian, I can have compassion for people. Not everybody on earth is going to stay within the traditional norms of their upbringing. And do you guys think... Do you think society's going to change so much that we're all going to have to, like, succumb to whatever they want us to?
No.
Because they
are a minority. And in your situation with your neighbor, and because she lived her life, or lived his life like as a her completely, and, you know, gorgeous and whatnot, you would never know. And quiet, led a quiet life, whatever, and married. And so they just look like a normal, regular couple. I don't want to say normal because we don't know what normal is these days, but just a regular couple. And, you know, so in that respect, people are, I don't want to say more accepting because it's not really an acceptance thing. It's more of a just a go about life. And as you were stating earlier, as far as when it's all up in your face every day, constant reminder, accept, it's very off-putting. And so people are going to start, I mean, I'm surprised nothing is being said yet with all the commercials that we're seeing these days.
She had to do porn for a while to pay for her surgery because her surgery was over $250,000, you know, to get changed from a man to a woman. But she probably made some money off the Netflix movie, too. It's called Creature.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, it's not for me to judge. We live our lives, and as long as nobody's hurting me or my property or my family, good, cool, you're good. We're good, you know?
The only problem I have with the whole LGBTQ thing is that I really don't think people should modify their body parts. That doesn't mean I think there should be a law against it. I just think it's a bad idea that how could someone be in so much toil that they just can't accept themselves for who they are, and unless they're a girl who at 14 who has a mustache.
Lots of girls with mustaches at 14, so stop talking about them.
Well, they're Italian probably.
They probably are, ding, ding, ding.
I was going to let you guys know, is there any other topics you wanted to explore tonight? Because I have a date in 45 minutes.
Oh.
With the bed?
Good for you.
No! But I have to go to FedEx at 3 a.m., and my date's around 1 in the morning.
And you ain't got no brains still, huh? You got to leave one of those lungs, or you're gonna burn yourself out, dear.
You know what? I only work 45 hours this week. That's not that much.
Only 5 hours. Okay.
Suzette and Don, have you guys found work yet? I'm just wondering if the economy is viable down there. Not because I'm being nosy.
Here in Nevada, everyone can get a job. Go ahead, Suzette.
But, well, Don, you were supposed to get a job. Did you get one, Suzette?
There's for hire signs, but then you go in and it's not for that location. It's for like some far off distant location. It's like, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 miles away, or they're you have to apply online, and it's like, all right, so let's make this difficult. All right,
a job in Irvine, but it took him 3 weeks. Like, he just didn't get the first job he applied for.
He would go in there and talk
to the owner, and then they wouldn't get back to him for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game, and you apply and just, you know, hope that you get called back. And you apply different places, a lot of different places, and wait to be called back. And if you do go in to visit, then the experience that I had anyway was if you put your application online, then it's corporate that will decide, you know, who gets hired. I don't have any say-so. And it's like, oh, okay. But you are the manager, right?
John's already been at the 99 cents for 4 years. But he started looking for new jobs at 55, and he had a hard time. But the reason he got the job at that store is because he gave them 100% availability, like from 8 in the morning till 8 the next day. And so that's how he had the flexibility that they needed. But
I may always make it clear, my children are grown, I'm open, you can call me day or night, I'll come in, you know, weekends, doesn't matter, because I have nobody, as far as my husband, it's just my husband, but I'll work whatever if you need me. So.
Yeah, I have a question. Have you ever looked into the group home business, and are they desperate for people out there for that, like working with developmentally disabled people?
I never looked into that. That's something to explore. Yeah. No.
It's really not that bad of work. And when I started in 1993, I was scared of people who were different. I was around 33 then. But things have changed, you know, like I didn't get scared anymore.
that's good.
Well, I was really I know I shouldn't say this on the air, but I was really only scared of this one Down syndrome person. But then in the last 30 years, I've worked with all kinds of people. I've worked with people with mental disabilities there's nothing wrong with them physically. You know, they mm-hmm. might just have borderline personality or a bipolar. I work with people mm-hmm. who have other cognitive dysfunctions, but once you get familiar with it, like, the good thing about that field is you can work 40 hours a week or you can work 100, because they always have extra shifts open, like overnights.
I used to work at elderly, or actually one side was where the elderly people could come and go as they pleased, and then the other side was a hospital part where they had the Alzheimer's and dementia and other people that needed to be cared for, you know, around the clock. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Another job up here that has a lot of availability in Duluth is working at a hospital and serving people their food, like being the food
mm-hmm.
delivery person.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds kind of cheesy, but it would be kind of fun, you know.
Well,
my cousin was in the hospital recently, and I observed those people going. I applied for it, but then they didn't call me for 3 months, and I already had another job, so I didn't take it.
I used to do laundry and, you know, basically, I don't know, housekeeping, I guess. at a hospital.
At a hospital?
So. Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
John's
going to
be moving out by you pretty soon, like in the next 6 months.
Oh,
but
wow, cool.
I'm coming to visit in August. So I'm probably going to mail you guys your shirts, but we'll all set up at John, Albert, and I could maybe visit you somewhere in Riverside County through that, and then I'll probably visit John separately.
Sounds
so,
good, yeah. Let's do that.
Do you guys have anything else you want to say before we close the show at midnight?
No, I'm good. I just want to say everybody have a good week, and that's it. Take care. God bless.
Yeah, I mean, I would do a longer show, but none of us are really in a heated debate right now. And Don's in a public area, so I just don't think it's a good idea to do a long show tonight.
I'm out of the public area, and I did want to talk briefly about the newest national holiday that.
Yes,
the
I
United
want
States
you to
has.
Talk about that. So go for it.
Yeah, it's the newest holiday, the newest federal paid holiday for federal. Employees, that is Juneteenth Day every year on June 19th, commemorating the 2 years after the fact in Texas that they were notified that slavery was over. And so this was a big day because there are a lot of Southerners who celebrated Juneteenth all of our lives. And us Northerners had no clue, which again is another thing for the that should be taught in our schools, that should not be called CRT or critical race theory, because that word phrase does not exist, and these scholars are bringing that stuff out as pedagogy, and it's worthless crud. It's just a history, like I said earlier, that white people don't know. They don't acknowledge history. It's like they believe Star Wars is real. So, I call it multicultural curriculum because that's what I got passed in the Nevada legislature with Harvey Mumford, Assemblyman Harvey Mumford, in 2015, and everyone's bastardizing my law. But I knew it would be controversial because race is on the show since the start. The number one issue in America. And it didn't, you know, people laughed at me, Jane included, and said that I was wrong, and I don't know how.
I didn't say you were wrong. John probably did.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart. All I know is that we're coming to the fore. It's coming to the fore. We're now going to experience the
full circle.
Yeah, the culprit of all that has been about America, all that has been in and around and about and what made America. And people don't understand that blacks worked side by side with whites the whole 400 years, and we deserve as African Americans.
Remember that lady who called the show a few weeks ago from Arkansas? She was pretty on board with everything. And she knew a lot about the Tulsa Massacre.
Well, I mean, anybody who has a brain should realize.
Hello?
I think we lost him.
No, I think I thought I actually hung up the phone with my ear because I was putting something away in my closet and you're right, we lost him. And I'm happy to talk about that topic, but I have to go somewhere tonight, so it was a blessing in disguise. Okay, so next time I'm able to get Wade and John and Ben on the show, I'll call you, but I'm probably not having a show until I get back from Georgia. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.